Welcome back to another episode of Environmental Voices, the Penn Future podcast. My name is Travis DiNicola, Penn Future's Director of Development, and I'm your host. And for our first new episode in 2023, we'll start off with welcoming our newest sponsor. Environmental Voices is now sponsored by Invinity, designing and installing solar power systems for homes and businesses in Central and Western PA since 2005. Information on how Invinity can help to achieve net zero energy can be found at Invinity.com. Thank you, Invinity. Environmental Voices is also sponsored by Penn Future, Pennsylvania's watchdog for clean air, clean water, and clean energy. You can find out more and become a member at PennFuture.org. Last year, we aired 7 episodes of Environmental Voices, and they all ran roughly an hour long. Today, we're doing something a bit different, a shorter episode, about 20 minutes, and just one guest. For this episode, we're featuring a special interview with Jean Bonnie Van Allen. Bonnie recently stepped down from the position of Executive Director and President of Willistown Conservation Trust, a nonprofit land trust and conservation organization she founded over 25 years ago in Chester County outside of Philadelphia. Bonnie is also being honored this year as one of the women receiving a Lifetime Achievement Award in Conservation from Penn Future's 2023 Celebrating Women in Conservation Awards presented by EcoSave. Each year, Penn Future honors the accomplishments of outstanding women conservationists across Pennsylvania. This is the 8th time for the event. The EcoSave Presents 2023 Celebrating Women in Conservation Awards will tell the stories of 11 amazing women from southeastern PA and will take place live at the Fittler Club in Philly from 6 to 9 p.m. on Tuesday, March 21st. Along with the awards, the evening will feature drinks and a dinner with an environmentally conscientious vegetarian menu. You can visit PennFuture.org to purchase tickets and for more information about all the women being honored at the event. Unfortunately, Jean Bonnie Van Allen will not be able to attend the live event, so we've instead asked her to join this special podcast to learn more about and to celebrate her life's work. Bonnie, welcome to Environmental Voices.
Thank you.
It is great to have you here. I am sorry that you're not going to be able to make our Women in Conservation dinner on the 21st of March, but I'm really glad to have this opportunity to chat with you today, Bonnie.
Well, thank you, Travis. I'm so sorry I won't be able to be there with all those other wonderful women.
It's going to be a great night, and we'll certainly promote it more later. But congratulations to you on the Lifetime Achievement Award. We give a few of those out every year, and you are one of the original three this year. And actually, we have a fourth person we're honoring this year. That's kind of a surprise that we're going to be announcing soon. So I'll let people tune in for that. But you have had quite the career. And I want to talk, of course, about your work with the Willistown Conservation Trust. But Bonnie, before we get into that, I want to go back a little bit. Because I know you attended Penn State, as did I, as did a lot of our listeners and a lot of our staff. Mm-hmm. So what did you study at Penn State? Is that part of what led to your work?
You know, it really isn't, Travis. Mm-hmm. I was a liberal major at Penn State, and actually I loved getting out in the woods up there. I had a friend who would take me grouse shooting.
Oh, wow.
But other than that, no, it really didn't influence my career. It was more my childhood, I think, being in the outdoors and growing up on a farm in Chester Springs and really being a free range kid. I was just allowed to go out and explore nature. And I went to a country school that promoted the outdoors and nature. We actually had at that school, we had the first day of fishing season off.
Oh, wow. That's great. I know a lot of schools, you know, give the first day of deer hunting season off, but I've never heard that for fishing season.
Well, truth be told, maybe we just took it off, but it was a big holiday.
Well, that's very cool. So when then did you really start becoming aware of environmental issues then? It was after school then? I mean, I know you obviously cared about the nature and outside, but in terms of actual issues and wanting to get involved in the way you have.
Yeah, well, it was really after Jim and I were married and starting to bring up a family. And I was working at the Academy of Natural Sciences. I started out teaching there, teaching inner city kids, bringing them into the Academy and teaching them about nature. So I spent a good bit of time at the Academy, and eventually I became a trustee of the Academy. And that really kindled the more scientific aspect of thinking about nature.
Okay.
But it really wasn't until we bought our little farm here in Willistown that I realized that if we didn't do something to preserve open space, that we would be swallowed up by development.
So tell me about Willistown. For those who don't know, where is it and what's your farm like?
Yeah, well, we have a little farm in the middle of the Willistown. Willistown, at the time we started, was fairly rural. Mm-hmm. We were not considered part of the main line. It was a trek for people to get out here. It seemed like more of a destination. But there was enough open country left that really warranted trying to put together an effort to preserve the open lands that were left. So I approached Frolic down at the Brandywine Conservancy, and I had just heard about the tool called a conservation easement. And I knew that Brandywine was using that tool to work with landowners to preserve their properties. And Frolic said, yeah, let's get a satellite program started out in the Willistown area. And that's what we did. We formed the Willistown Area Conservation Program under the umbrella of Brandywine. And I was able to use the Brandywine staff and work with the lawyers down there to approach landowners out here about doing conservation easements on their land.
I want to pause you there for a second. If you don't mind, explain to me a bit more what a conservation easement is.
Yeah, a conservation easement is a legal agreement that a landowner can enter into with a nonprofit conservation organization in which they agree to restrict certain future uses of their land being development restrictions. And then in addition to that, the document also adds in other environmental restrictions like not building on steep slopes and protecting the floodplains and any other aspects that a landowner wishes to leave as a legacy of conservation on their property. The landowner still owns the land, but but these restrictions pass along with the deed forever.
Okay. So you were able to do this with Brandywine Conservancy's help. And again, this area of Willistown, about how far away from to give us a geographic perspective, from downtown Philly or so is that?
Yeah, we're within 20 miles of Philadelphia.
Okay.
And we're just kind of west, a little bit northwest.
And as you said, at the time, it was still a pretty rural area. I'm guessing that the surrounding area is not like that anymore.
Yeah, no, we started early enough where the development pressures were just beginning to come in from all sides. But it was really a lot of open farmland, a lot of kind of gentleman farmland, and just still an area where you could ride forever and walk across other people's properties. And it just was somebody called it a sleepy, laid back area.
Nice. So my understanding is that you worked with about, 90 landowners? And we're talking several thousand acres here that are protected?
Well, that was under the Brandywine. During those years, I think we worked with 90 landowners to protect several thousand acres. And then we became the Willistown Conservation Trust in the mid-1990s.
Okay.
And formed our own 501c3 with a board of trustees and a committed group of community supporters.
Was there something specific that prompted you to found the new nonprofit?
Yeah, I think it was the feeling of wanting to have an organization that was community-based and would continue on with community support. The Brandywine was fine with the idea, and it just seemed that we could get more done with being a more independent organization.
And so now there's over, what, 7,200 acres of land that's part of that?
Yeah, I think we're up to 7,500 acres
now.
Oh,
wow. Okay.
And it's created enough of a viable mass of protected land that we've been able to spawn these other programs. So we started out the first, couple of decades really just protecting land. Mm-hmm. But then in the early 2000s was the time when we started the agroecology program at Rushton Farm, and then that evolved into the bird conservation program and a lot more opportunity to do environmental research and education.
Tell me a bit more about that. I mean, do you partner with other organizations or universities, or how does that work?
We do. We partner, we are a field study site for the Academy of Natural Sciences. Mm-hmm. So they bring students out there, particularly their ornithology students with from Drexel. And we partner with Stroud Water Research Center. And our bird program is very robust. We are now pretty much nationally and becoming more internationally known for our MODIS program, which is the radio telemetry tracking system that we have been promoting, track migratory birds.
Wow. What sort of birds come through the area?
Well, in the spring and fall, we have migrating songbirds. In the winter, we have a research project to track a little saw-whet owls.
Okay.
We've been doing tracking and banding them for, I think probably 12 or 15 years now. And we have a banding station at Rushton Woods Preserve, where we've been doing research there for 12 or 15 years.
Now, are there areas in the conserved land where the public can, observe birds or enjoy the habitat, or how does that work?
Yeah, absolutely. We've created four public preserves. Our largest, the preserve where we have the most focus and the most education and research going on is the Rushton Woods Preserve.
Okay.
And on that 86-acre preserve, we have an organic farm. We do a lot of research in agroecology and the connection between the farm and the natural area surrounding the farm, how the birds use the farm, and the insects and the pollinators and so forth. And we've really proven the thesis that there is a strong symbiotic relationship between agroecology and the way farmers farm and the thriving wildlife that is symbiotic with that.
That's excellent.
And then also at Rushton Woods Preserve, we have our Rushton Conservation Center, which was a building that opened in 2018 and has become a focal point for bringing people to the area and having events and really opening up our being welcoming to people from everywhere to come and learn about wildlife, nature, and go away with a lifelong love for preserving nature.
That's so fantastic that you've been a part of this for so long and have been able to work with your neighbors and the community over the years in preserving this land. You must be awfully proud of that.
Yeah, well, I think one of the most things I'm most proud about is just the whole land conservation ethic that has evolved, I think, because of the Willistown Conservation Trust and the whole notion that we are a community and we have a sense of place that has developed because of the protected lands. And we think of ourselves now as a community-based organization with a broad outreach.
Mm-hmm.
So we not can bring people from afar into our community to learn and be educated and be inspired, but we're also taking our research far afield, for instance, with our watershed work and our our, particularly our bird conservation work.
I know, of course, you didn't do this alone, and your friend and partner, Alice Hossman, was a big part of it. Tell me about Alice.
Absolutely. Well, Alice was my partner right from practically from the beginning, working first with Brandywine and then working together to found the Willistown Conservation Trust. It was a big decision to split off from Brandywine, and Alice was just such a great ally and cheerleader, and couldn't have done it without her. And in addition, her husband Peter Hausman has been very instrumental from the beginning in helping us do land transactions. Mm-hmm. And we founded together, Peter and I founded the Delchester Group, Inc., which is a nonprofit entity that we formed to actually acquire lands that we had not been able to get under conservation easement,
okay,
hold on to the lands, and then find conservation buyers to turn them over to. And thanks to Peter and Alice's help with the Delchester Group, Inc., we've preserved a significant portion of what we have preserved has been through that process of kind of community partnerships to purchase, hold, and resell critical lands.
Sounds like you had to learn a lot about not just land preservation, but real estate.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I had a real estate license, which helped.
Okay.
But I only used it for projects that, where landowners who wanted to list their properties for sale did not want to sell to developers. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of a minor part. But yeah, thanks to Peter, who was a very sophisticated in real estate transactions. And then working with a couple of local lawyers who really helped us work our way through partnerships and how limited partnerships work and that sort of thing. Yes, I had a lot of help along the way.
Excellent.
Thank goodness.
You retired from the Williston Conservation Trust in 2021. What have you been doing since?
Ah, well, that's right. October 2021. Well, I feel very, very fortunate that I was able to turn the reins over to a very talented young woman, Kate Etherington, mm-hmm. and a very committed board of trustees and a wonderful staff. So Kate's been doing a great job. To answer your question, I've stayed very involved with some of the larger land transactions, trying to preserve a couple of the last really larger properties, and one in particular. And then also I've stayed very involved in my passion for birds, and particularly promoting the idea of preserving grassland bird habitat, because grassland birds, as many people know, are the ones in the most serious decline, really in the Americas, but worldwide.
Excellent.
So those two kept me pretty busy.
I'm sure.
But I love it. I love it.
Very good. What any projects that you have coming up in the future you can share with us, or just continuing to do that?
Well, really just continuing to do that. We're working on one land transaction, which is a little bit under the radar in the very beginning stages right now. But the Grassland Bird Project is blossoming. We're working particularly in Southern Chester County, some of the grassland hotspots where birds such as bobolinks and meadowlarks are still thriving, and trying to work with farmers and landowners to just learn how to manage the properties a little bit with a mind toward what the birds need to survive fledging and, you know, not being mowed by the hay mower and so forth.
Sure, sure. Very good. Well, Bonnie, I wish you the best of luck with those, with the new property acquisition and your other work. And again, congratulations on the Lifetime Achievement Award for Women in Conservation. You have certainly, your career has had a huge impact on your part of the world, and I know is greatly appreciated by your friends and neighbors and the people who get to enjoy the Williston Conservation Trust, whether living there or coming to visit there or doing research there. Really important work that you've done over the years. Thank you for that.
Well, thank you, Travis, and thank you. I'm so honored and pleased to be part of your wonderful organization. And thank you for this honor.
And that does it for this special episode of Environmental Voices, the Penn Future Podcast. Thanks again to Jean Bonnie Van Allen for being a part of it. And again, congratulations to her for being selected to receive a Lifetime Achievement Award in Conservation in Penn Future's 2023 Celebrating Women in Conservation Awards presented by EcoSave. You can visit PennFuture.org to purchase tickets and for more information about all the women being honored at the event. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to subscribe and leave behind a review of Environmental Voices, Penn Future Podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. And as always, please let us know what you'd like to hear on future episodes. And thanks again to our newest sponsor, Invinity, designing and installing solar power systems for homes and businesses in Central and Western PA since 2005. Information on how Invinity can help to achieve net zero energy can be found at Invinity.com. Environmental Voices is also sponsored by Penn Future, Pennsylvania's watchdog for clean air, clean water, and clean energy. You can find out more and become a member at PennFuture.org. And if you're interested in becoming a sponsor, please let us know. Today's show is written and produced by me, your host and audio engineer, Travis DiNicola. Our executive producer is Matt Stepp. Our music is thanks to Pixabay.com. Thank you for listening to Environmental Voices, the Penn Future Podcast.